Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Dan Menigan. Mike Exisa covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. Mike's been with us before, and we're happy to have him back with us again on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, how are you?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. I want to read the last line of what you wrote about 3 hours ago about the Guardians, talking about the Cleveland baseball bullpen. And you wrote this, your closing line: this is truly one of the best and most dependable bullpens ever. Not just in the game today, ever. Yeah. Mike, that's a big statement, and I can't really argue with you. This bullpen has been lights out. What stood out to you the most about it?
I think it's just the workload and how much these guys are throwing. And you know, I think they've got, what is it, five of the top 15 in appearances. And I think at some point you kind of got to be a little bit worried. Is that going to catch up to them? But to date, they've handled that workload perfectly fine. They've answered the bell almost every time. I know they had a rough week, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago earlier this month, but that's the kind of thing that just happens in the long season. I mean, overall, I mean, Class A has been incredible, obviously, in the ninth inning and really ninth and tenth last night. You know, he went pitched 4 days in a row last week or whatever it was 2 weeks ago, and he's been unbelievable in the ninth, and they're really four deep in set of guys behind him, and it just seems like there hasn't been many hiccups at all. And yeah, I do worry a little bit about the workload. It is a lot of innings. It's a lot of appearances. It's a lot of guys. Doesn't even count the tons of guys have warmed up and gotten into the game. So we'll see what happens as the season kind of wears on as we get into the last few weeks. But, I mean, to date, I mean, this is like the backbone of the team, right? The offense has not been great the last few weeks. It's been the bullpen. They get a lead, game over. You know, they slam the door shut. And really what I wrote about it being one of the best bullpens ever, that's, I mean, this game is so bullpen-centric now, right? You know, it's not like teams have used their bullpen this way for 100 years. This is a pretty new thing. And kind of just the workload they're carrying, how effective they've been. Yeah, it really is one of the deepest bullpens. The deepest and most effective that, yeah, we have ever seen.
More and more teams are starting to operate this way, kind of like you were hinting at. Like I look at the Brewers, who are notorious for, gosh, having pitchers go all of five innings, five and a third, and then turning it over to that bullpen as well. Do you see that as the future of baseball, that we are just going to see, hey, you're going to get two times through the lineup, maybe trickle into a third, but the minute that happens, boom, we're going to the pen and we're getting all these guys out through that, through various relievers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the way the game is trending. That's like one of the constants throughout baseball history, that pitchers are just throwing less and less. And you know, most things in the game are cyclical. You know, home runs go up and then they go down. Stolen bases go up and down. But no, starting pitcher is throwing less and less. It's a constant throughout history, so it's going to continue. And I mean, in a week or two ago, there was a proposal about MLB trying to mandate six-inning appearances with certain caveats, obviously. But, you know, the league's trying to come up with a way to kind of return the game to the starting pitcher because they have been marginalized. And speaking as a spectator, I don't like watching four or five relievers a night come in just like a parade one after the other. I'd rather watch a great starting pitcher give me six, seven innings instead of getting pulled at 75 pitches in five innings because it's the third time through the order. You know, that's just me speaking as somebody who enjoys watching the game. But I certainly understand why teams go through so many relievers, because it is effective showing a different reliever every at bat. You know, I think, you know, I'm here in New York and I see Aaron Judge, and it's kind of incredible. The guy will see four different pitchers a night and he's still as good as he is. It's teams do it because it works, and it's just the way it is. I mean, the game is going to trend this way unless the league mandates something that forces teams to use starters more.
Mike, I agree with you completely. I love watching a game where a starter goes out and does his thing. I worked in Texas while Nolan Ryan was pitching for the Astros. And getting a chance to watch the way he handled, you know, a big workload and handled a game. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. However, tell me this, though the game is going more toward the bullpen, is it also just so much more economically feasible? Because starters tend to make big money and tend to get injured a lot, and bullpen guys don't make as much money, and if they get injured, you just go get another guy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And teams are so good at developing pitchers now. Like, they have so much information about pitchers. These guys, they throw breaking balls that are, like, literally designed in a lab, right? Like, they take these guys, they put them in front of TrackMan, in front of the cameras, and they figure out what works best for him. And for a lot of guys, it's, you know, I'm 28 years old. I'm in my fourth season in AAA. Either I can try what they're teaching me here, and if I get hurt in 2 years, well, at least I made it to the majors. You know, this is just so much kind of just churn through arms. It's really not good for the game, but it's effective. It works, and it gets more players to the big leagues, even if it's a short period of time. And yes, these guys are making the league minimum because they're so early in their careers, and it's cheaper. And I mean, there's always going to be a place for, you know, Gerrit Cole's getting their massive contracts because they're durable, they're great. Those guys will always get theirs. It's kind of a middle class that just they're kind of getting squeezed out there, and teams will just say, why would I pay this guy $10 million when I can play two or three others the league minimum and kind of backfill the innings that way? And I mean, it's all, that's what it is. It's a zero-sum game. There's really only so many dollars to go around, and teams would rather I'd rather have three guys who could do this job on the cheap than pay one guy a lot of money and kind of put all my eggs in that basket.
Mike Exese of CBS Sports joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One of the more fascinating things that's happening in this season, Mike, is if you look at the AL and figuring out who's sitting where and which seating, it's so bunched up at the top. It's unbelievable. Yeah. What do you think is causing this? Is it that there's no awesome team that's rolling everybody? Everybody's flawed? Or is it, hey, this unbalanced schedule is making it that everybody's playing such a similar schedule, we will see more parity?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of multiple things. I think with you have six postseason spots per league now, and I think you kind of see more teams are in the race where, okay, they're not really bad, you know, they're not winning 70 games a year. Maybe now they're winning 84, 85, so they're good enough to be in the race. And, you know, it is, there's only so many wins to go around, right? You know, every game I win means it's one fewer game for that other team to win. So you're kind of seeing more parity, more teams just kind of on an even playing field. And I really don't think there's a great team right now. There's, even in both leagues, look at the National League too. I'm not sure anybody's going to get to 100 wins this season. I'm not sure anybody's going to get to 98 wins this season. Even the Dodgers, as good as they are, there's holes on that roster. It just feels like there's no great team. So that kind of like raises the floor on the rest of the league. And yeah, the American League, I mean, you look up every day, you pull up the standings, and there's a different team with the best record. You know, if it's not Cleveland, it's Baltimore, the Yankees. Every single day it changes, it seems like. And I don't know what the seeding is going to shake out. You know, there's 6 weeks or a little bit less than that remaining in the season, and so much can change in that time. But pretty clearly Cleveland's in great shape and in the Central. Even though they've kind of stumbled a little bit the last few weeks, they're still controlling themselves there. So they're in good shape. Baltimore and the Yankees, they've been kind of spinning their wheels the last few weeks. They keep waiting for one of them to get hot and go win 10 of 12, and it's just not happening. And I don't know, there's just so much parity around the league. There's really no great teams, and there's a lot of injuries that are really kind of changing the races too, I think.
Mike, I want to go back to what you had brought up about baseball, talking about perhaps, you know, a six-inning minimum for a starter and everything else. You can't regulate that into the game, can you? I mean, that would just junk it up so much, I would think.
I don't think this is MLB's way of, this is like, you know, okay, this is our proposal, this is exactly what we want. I think this is more of like a conversation starter, because the union would have to approve anything, and the collective bargaining agreement is still 2 years away. It expires after 2026, and so over these next few months, we're going to kind of start getting breadcrumbs about what each side kind of wants, and this feels like the first pass of, like, this is more of a just the league saying, we want to do something to get starting pitchers and kind of make them the main character again, and this is just a conversation starter. This is not our final offer. I don't know how you could regulate, you know, six inning starts. And, you know, there would be kind of limits for, okay, if he's throwing this many pitches, if he's giving up this many runs, you could take him out. There's ways to make it work. And I saw somebody did the math on it, and something like 20% of all starts this season would have kind of fallen into the range of this. It was a kind of start where the pitcher would have been forced to go longer. So it's not an overwhelming number of games, but I don't think that's, I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. I really don't think it's workable, but at least there's kind of like momentum towards a conversation, at least, I think.
Are there any other big things that you think could happen? You know, lower the mound, move the mound back, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches, yeah, Suddenly becomes 61 feet. And your point about Aaron Judge, you know, being as good as he is facing four pitchers a game, that's what hitters are up against now. And with these lights out bullpens, especially here in Cleveland, Do you see anything else?
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Big that they could do that might be like earth shattering for the game?
Yeah, I think anything with the mound, whether it's shortening it or moving it back, that's like a seismic change. That's the kind of thing you would have to test for years in the minors. And, you know, if you do it at the major league level, you kind of start doing it in the minors. Colleges are going to have to start doing the same thing. You have to start training a whole generation of pitchers completely different. That's a pretty significant change. I think that, I mean, sitting from where I am, it seems like the easiest solution is you just give teams fewer pitching staffs. You know, they have 13 pitchers now. It's 13 pitchers maximum. Cut back to 12 pitchers in 2 years. You can say, okay, 2 years after that, we're going back to 11. And if you have fewer relievers available, you're going to have to get more from your starters. And if you give teams enough notice where they could develop their starters a different way in the minors and kind of prepare everybody, maybe that works. You know, I would do that before I start moving the mound around, because that's the kind of thing that could have such a huge kind of impact on the game. And they did this in the Atlantic League. I think they moved it back 6 inches a few years ago. And what they found was walks went up incredibly because these guys throw pitches that move so much that they just couldn't land them for strikes. They couldn't control it. So I don't know. That would be such a big change. I would try trimming rosters first, you know, go to 12 pitchers and then eventually 11, see if that kind of solves things. And if it does, great. You haven't kind of screwed up the way the sport's been played forever.
It's a really good idea, Mike. Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports on the North Hempstead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, so into the Guardians, into the Central. Do you think the Guardians are safe on top of the Central with the Twins kind of playing 500-ish ball and the Royals are making a bit of a run right now? How secure do you feel about the Guardians at the top?
Yeah, I don't feel as secure as I did maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, but I still think Cleveland's in a pretty good shape there. And the Twins, you know, they it seems like every time they kind of go on a little run here that makes you think they're going to go for the top spot, they kind of shoot themselves in the foot and, you know, things kind of fall apart for them. I think Cleveland's in pretty good shape there. You know, if you asked me to pick who'd win the division, I would say Cleveland, and my confidence is probably more like 60-40 than like 90-10 there. But I think they're the best team in the league. I'd feel a little bit better if Alex Cobb was fully healthy instead of going back on the injured list, even with a fingernail. You know, those fingernail issues for pitchers, they can linger. They can be pretty nasty, but I'd feel better if he was healthy. But I still think they're the best team and they're the best position to win that division now.
And how is that? You know, that's what we've been sitting here all season long, Mike. The bullpen obviously is the key to the whole thing. But we're sitting here in Cleveland saying, well, that lineup's not really good, and these guys aren't hitting since the All-Star break, and the starting rotation is a mess, and we usually have great rotations, and yet they're in first place. It's been stunningly fun this summer.
Yeah, and I think watching Cleveland, you kind of see, like, they're very good fundamentally. They run the bases aggressively. They kind of drive the other team nuts because they put the ball in play so much, and they do things like that. And it's a fun kind of team to watch, a fun style of baseball. I'd feel better if the offense, so you look at the offense, what you've seen the last few weeks is more reflective of what they were last year and the year before. You know, the first few months where they were hitting home runs, and I mean, that's not really a Cleveland offense. That's not what you would expect from the personnel on the roster. But they've got a superstar in Jose Ramirez, and Stephen Kwan, even though he's not hitting 360 anymore, still a really good leadoff hitter. And it just seems like the matchups, you know, they're platoons, they work like just enough. And I don't love the offense. I don't love the rotation. The bullpen's great, but I feel like the pieces are there's just enough there to hold off the Twins, who they have the same kind of problems. Their rotation is not great. And their bullpen is not nearly as good as Cleveland's. Even as good as it is, it's not as good as Cleveland. So that's kind of the separator for me. When you get a lead in the late innings, you know Cleveland's going to win. Twins, not so much.
All right, Mike. I'm going to stick you in the middle of an argument between Jeff and I. I apologize now.
Sorry, Mike.
You're going to be the tiebreaker on this, okay? You ready?
Uh-oh. Sure.
5-game playoff series. Who starts game 2 for the Guardians? Tanner Bibee starts game 1.
Oh, jeez. I would, if he's healthy, I would put Cobb out there. I think he's just the best. The track record is the best. And when he's on, he can be really good. If Cobb is not healthy, jeez.
Here we go. Here we go, probably, Mike.
You know, I would probably go Ben Lively, but I don't. I can't say I love that as a game two option. If you're going to face a team that maybe has a lot of lefties in the lineup, maybe Matt Boyd is the best option there. But.
Yes, now you're talking, Mike.
Why'd you have to do this? I got to live with this guy. I got to see him every day for 5 hours. It's ridiculous.
You know, honestly, now that I collect myself for a moment here, the best option might be Gavin Williams.
No!
I think you just look at the quality of his stuff. He's probably the best option there.
Come on, Exisa.
Yeah, there's not really any great options. I think if you force me to pick one, I think I would go Gavin Williams. But I don't know, man. There's really no great options there. But Williams at least has the stuff to make me think like, okay, Gavin Williams can go throw a fastball by a hitter. I'm not sure Lively and Cobb and Matt Boyd can do that at this point in their careers.
Mike, although you didn't go my side on the debate, I hope you're right, because I agree. Of the upside of these guys, it's Gavin Williams. He's just been a little inconsistent this year. But, man, I think he could be really, really good.
Yeah.
It's fun. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to come on.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Exisa, CBS Sports, and he just wrote a terrific story about the Guardians' bullpen. And go see it on CBS Sports. The headline is MLB Trends, Padres Reverse Course, Guardians' Bullpen Saves the Day. So go read that one by Mike Exisa.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.